Shall we pray?
Our merciful eternal Father, unto you we give the glory and honor because you are the only one that is worthy. Thank you for sparing our lives to see another Sunday morning. Thank you for your protection, your cares, journey mercies, answer to our prayers, your healings, so many goodness of yours that you have expressed to us since the beginning of this year. We are grateful to you, Lord, for so many ways that you have shown your grace and your mercy to us. Thank you, everlasting Father. Lord, you have added testimonies to our lives again, Lord, by keeping us to be alive to this moment. Lord, we have come before you to commemorate your resurrection. Our Father, we pray, Lord, that you will specially do something for us today. We are your people. You are our God. And you have called us to come unto you. You say, you will not cast us out because it's not us that have brought ourselves unto you. And so we are confident, the Lord, that you will do you give our desires to us this day. Because you said the desires of the righteous shall be granted. We know you are on the throne, pleading and interceding for us. We are grateful to you. Lord, may you condition our hearts. Lord, give us spiritual understanding. Lord, in all the ways that you have chosen to minister to us today, that your blessings abundant will be our portions, Lord. We have come the way we are. May we go back better as your people. May you send the Holy Spirit upon the souls of your sons and daughters. May you send deliverance as your words will be going forth and your spirit will confirm the same. Lord, may you come down and heal the sick by inspiring faith in their hearts, Lord, that every desire of our heart will be granted and your name will be glorified. Thank you, everlasting God. Thank you for your happy reunion once again. We bless you for your grace and your cares over every one of us. As we commit ourselves to you, that you will bless us again. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus Christ's name we are prayed. Praise be to God. Good morning to everybody this morning. I want to appreciate you for your prayers for me when I was away. I appreciate you all. May the Lord reward every one of you for your contributions. Yeah. God bless you. Let's quickly open our Bible to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Just it's a familiar a part that we want to follow this morning. May the Lord give us a blessing. Praise be to God. All right. We are going to read from verse 13 to 18. And we'll read another part too. We'll read Revelation chapter 32. All right, I read. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's read Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave. You can please be seated. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified he by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. We are grateful to God for the privilege to be in the house of God again. Just a little admonition, Revelation and you. That's just the title. Revelation and you. Praise be to God. We know that virtually in every preaching, Revelation is emphasized. And even the prophet made us to know that the importance of Revelation to a true believer can never be overemphasized. Let's look at that here in paragraph, the importance of Revelation. You can use that as a search word. The importance of Revelation by the Spirit to a true believer. To a true believer can never be overemphasized. I believe the word used, the prophet used the word a true believer here because he has preached the sermon which he titled Three Kinds of Believers. And we know that. So, he said the revelation of the Spirit to a true believer. So, which means that will be, you know, people that will not be true believers because of lack of revelation. And so the importance of revelation to the spirit of the by the spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. There is no way we are going to overstate it. We cannot say it too much. In every sermon, if the importance of revelation is stressed, if it is what is preached every sermon, we can't preach it too much. That's what it means. And so we begin to look at, you know, the essence of this revelation as we continue. All right. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. That's why we say revelation and you. So revelation means more to you than perhaps you or I realize. Now, I am not talking about this book of Revelation and you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Praise be to God. Now, what is revelation? We have read here in Matthew chapter 16. Where the Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples what they thought of him. And Peter was very fast to speak. And then he went on to say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. While others say you are this, men say you are this, men say you are this. But Peter said, you are the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus Christ answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that is the reason Revelation is very important. Nothing prevails against it. No forces, no power, no gathering, no covenant, no agreement, no divination, no enchantment prevails against that. And the prophet say, it is a rock. Amen. It is a rock upon which the church of God is built. And the prophet said, that rock is not Peter, as Roman Catholic will interpret it. Or as some other people will say, it is on Jesus. The prophet said, no, he didn't build it on himself. He said, study the scripture. Look at the way he put it. He said, and upon this rock, not upon Peter, not upon himself. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. He said, but my Father who is in heaven. But I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. See, they were trying to use intellectual to interpret it. That was why they were saying the next statement was following Peter. Saint Jesus saying, and thou art Peter, and upon this rock. They were taking this to be Peter. But the prophet said it's not. If you look at the previous statement he made, that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But I say unto you, for thou art Peter, and upon this rock of who I am, of knowing who I am, I will build my church. The prophet said the Roman Catholic says that the church is built upon Peter. Now that is really canon. Is it? That's the prophet saying that. That is looking at the scripture with canon eye, with intellectual interpretation. How could God build the church upon a man so unstable that he denied the Lord Jesus and cursed while doing it? He said God can't build his church upon any man born in sin. And it wasn't some rock lying there as though God had hallowed the ground at that spot. Not a physical rock. You see? And it isn't, as the Pentecostals say, the Protestants say, that the church is built upon Jesus. It was the revelation. Read it the way it is written. Flesh and blood are not revealed it to you, but my Father has revealed it, and upon this rock, revelation, I will build my church. The church is built on revelation. On thus saith the Lord. Praise be to God. We will begin to understand the importance of this revelation as we continue. Because, and what is the prophet made us to know? The prophet defined revelation in so many ways. He told us that revelation is faith. He told us that revelation is faith. Revelation being faith. And what is faith? Faith is revelation himself too. And the prophet told us that faith is the revelation of the will of God. Faith is the revelation of the will of God. That's why you can, that is why you see the apostles of old. You see people in the Old Testament. You see Daniel. You see Joseph. You see Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Because the will of God had been revealed to them, they couldn't compromise. Even at the face of death, they told the king to keep quiet. Okay? What is faith? I'm reading from Anointed One at the end time. Faith is something that was revealed to you that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. Is a revelation of the will of God. So when you say faith, when you say revelation, you are saying the same thing. So
So the faith now is the will of God revealed to you. So when we say the person does not have revelation, it means that the person does not go, it does not, the will of God has not been made known to that person. Now it is not by letter. It could be known by letter. You could know by reading. You could hear it by hearing of the ear. You could read it because you could read and write. But the carrying out of it, the standing by it, the taking one's life to that, it takes something different from head knowledge. Okay? Let's move forward here. And the prophet went further to tell us that it's a personal contact between God and an individual. Now let's look at the case of Moses. The prophet made us to know that when the mother of Moses was taking care of Moses in Egypt, she told him what he was born for. He was born to be a deliverer. He was born to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. Moses understood it intellectually. Okay, let's come here. Why Christ speak? Preaching 1864. I'm reading from paragraph 62. Why Christ speak? Preaching 1863. I'm reading paragraph 62. The prophet made us to know that he was told by his mother, that was Moses, of his mysterious birth, and how that the time was at hand, close to the hour that there was to be a deliverance. Now, though his mother had told him these things, and he knew them, yet he needed another touch. Moses was told by his mother that he was born during the time that deliverance was needed for Israel. And for us to understand that Moses knew what the mother said intellectually, that was why he went out to go and rescue an Israelite from the hand of an Egyptian. And he ended up killing an Egyptian. And the prophet said by that he expected him to know that he was sent for that deliverance. So he secretly buried an Egyptian. And the people saw him. They didn't talk. But at another time, when there was a conflict, disagreement between two Israelites, then Moses was there too. He just came in to mediate and said, "Oh, you are brothers. You shouldn't be fighting." The one that was guilty raised his brother and said, "Shey, you want to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Who sent you as a lord over us?" Now, he knew by that moment that he became a wanted man. He had to run out of Egypt. The prophet told us that he had not met God and he began to do the work of God. That was how he ended up killing a man. But when he met God, when he had a personal contact with God, how many people did he destroy? More than one. Almost destroyed the whole nation. He killed Pharaoh himself. But not with bullets. This time, not with fist this time around, like he did and killed an Egyptian. All right. Now, though his mother had told him, paragraph 64, you've not gotten it. Why Christ speak? There are two. The one year of 1963. Though his mother had told him these things, he knew this, yet he needed another touch. The teaching was fine, but he needed a personal contact. That is what the world needs today. That is what the church needs today. That is what everyone needs that are sons and daughters of God. In order to be that, you need a personal contact. See? Something. No matter, you know the word is true. You know it is right. But then, when it contacts, and then you see the thing done, then you know you are on the right road. See? And watch, it will always be scriptural. It will stand right with the scripture because he did it. Praise be to God. It's a revelation of the will of God. is a personal contact, and the church of God is built on it, on that revelation, which means that is how God calls his people into his body. That's how God calls his people into his body. So we know that there's a mystical body. And we have the physical church, which we call gathering like this. This is a wall with people, with our pews and things like that. But within that, this is too light. But within that, there is the mystical body, which by one spirit we enter here. It is by this revelation that we enter into this place. And that revelation is also baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the revelation of God's will. And the prophet said, God does not give faith to the non-elect. Because they can never do its will. So, this is the mystical body. This is where all of us are supposed. This is the body of Christ. This outside here is not the body. This is just a church. Gathering where we all gather together. But here, and this is where true worship goes on. Praise be to God. Alright. The Bible told us that this revelation makes the difference between the true believer and the... That's what we are trying to emphasize at the other part when the prophet said the importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer. It makes the difference between the true believer and the unbeliever. Paragraph 54 of the Anointed Ones at the end time. And the church today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. The church, that small C church, there are usually two churches. Let's not forget that. And you will understand which church the prophet is referring to by the characteristics of that church. You will know. And the church today, that's the small C church, doesn't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in the dogmatic teaching of some system. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In fact, it is by revelation, as we have said here, that we offer acceptable sacrifice. The prophet preached a sermon, I think it's three series, but the title one of them, God's chosen place of worship. Then the other one is that God's provided place of worship. I think there are two types of that. Maybe it's only one. Maybe I want one thinking that. At least two series. And the prophet emphasized where God has chosen as the place of worship is in Christ. It is by revelation we enter into that place. And that is when our worship can be accepted. It is only in that body. Then you can ask and say, oh, what about those who are not yet filled with the Holy Spirit that are worshiping, that are truly? They are coming. The prophet told us that you are believing unto. Excuse me. There's a difference between believing unto and believing in. The prophet says, a man that is born again believes in Christ. But the man that is not born again believes unto. So he is believing unto. So he's making efforts. Being that in God's own program is elected, God is giving grace. God is giving grace at every stage. God is giving grace until he finally comes to that body. Praise be to God. Because from the beginning to the end, justification, sanctification, and Holy Ghost baptism, they are all works of grace. At the higher realm, higher level. That's what God does. Praise be to God. Alright?
So, by revelation, Abel offered. Now, he makes the difference between a true worshiper and, you know, a true believer and unbeliever. We want to use the example of Cain and Abel. The two of them were in the Garden of Eden. No other human beings except Adam and Eve. But they received a commandment to worship both of them. And when they were to worship, there was God's standard. God has those standards already established, which he has demonstrated to Adam and Eve. And in the course of time, Adam passed the message across to them at the family altar level. And the prophet made us to know that when Abel had that, he caught it. He caught it. That, okay, this is how to worship. It is by the blood. But Cain didn't catch it. And that was why when they were to worship, Abel went to get an animal. And he dragged the animal, was dragging it. It looked very wicked to Cain, who saw that, why are you dragging this animal? This animal that is bleating, leave this animal alone. He had already got fine fruit, dead, you know, decorated his altar, beautiful. The prophet said, that is Cain worship. Decorated his altar with beauty, with flower, with fruit, with, you know, the produce of the earth, which the Lord God has caused. But here was Abel. By revelation, he knew that it was blood. And where did you get blood? You don't get blood from fruits. You get from animal. Then he went to get an animal. Was dragging it. He dragged it along. Cain was looking at him and pointing to him that, you this wicked boy, what do you want to do with this animal? Don't you see my own altar? And the guy didn't listen. See, you can't be persuaded. When will you catch that personal contact with God? Nobody persuades you away from it. Whether he's old or he's young, whether it's your father, your mother, whether it's your sustainer, whether whosoever the person is, he can't talk you out of it. I always like to refer to the case of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. People that face the ruler of the world in their time. The man that had the power all over the nations of the earth. They had to stand before him. He had to face them and say, what's wrong with you? I raise you up now. After all, the level you go to now, you know, I'm the one that trained you. And you have been good boys. I learned that you're not ready to bow down to the image that I said, but I trust you. You are going to do it. You good boys. Trying to work on their emotions. Emotion does not affect revelation. Sympathy cannot affect revelation. No. Because revelation works according to God's perfect will. So that is why people who have revelation, they don't sympathize. What is sympathy? It's doing God's will. They don't pity people. I mean, they don't sympathize. Compassion. They only have compassion, which is doing God's will. The prophet said, compassion is doing God's will. It's not human sympathy. Sympathizing. No. So he couldn't persuade Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego to working on their emotions, working on their understanding. Oh, if you can do this, you know, I will spare your life. I'd like to read something before we get into that place. Yeah. I'd like to read something to hear what the prophet said about them. The prophet said, faith does not fear death. Revelation does not fear death. Let's continue with this here. Now, the prophet said, Moses, I'm still coming back to link it with this. Maybe I should complete that. These people did not fear what the king said. They only told him direct to his face that, look, you ask for your image. It's not a matter of persuasion. We are not ready to bow down to it. You are threatening us that you are going to increase the intensity of your furnace 7 times. That has no meaning to us. It's nonsense. It doesn't make any sense to us.
It doesn't matter how many times you want to hurt it. Go ahead and do it.
As for us, we're not going to bow down here.
Because we know that the God that we serve is able to deliver us from your fire. And even if he does not deliver us, we are still not going to bow down.
Now, look at what the prophet said about faith. Moses, I'm reading from Why Christ Speak, paragraph 176. Moses, with his faith, never did fear Pharaoh. See? He didn't care what Pharaoh said. He cared not about Pharaoh, no more than his mother and his daddy cared about their threats. When Moses was confirmed to him, and he was that person that was to deliver, lead Israel out of Egypt, he never cared what Pharaoh said. He wasn't scared of him. Amen, amen, amen. You see what I mean? There is no fear in faith. And faith is a revelation of the will of God. Faith knows about it. Faith, as I've always said, has got great big muscles and hairs on his chest. Faith says, shut up. Faith says, shut up. And everybody shut up. That's what those three Hebrew boys told the king. Shut up. That's what their faith was telling the man. Shut up. You are saying nonsense. We aren't going to listen to you. You see? Shut up. And everybody shut up. That's all. I know where I am at. The rest of them say, well, then, maybe it does. See? But you have got to stand up and show your muscles. That's all faith does it. Notice Moses never feared Pharaoh after God had vindicated his call. When Moses believed he was called for that, but when God told him up there, he'd saw and come down and show before Pharaoh and all the rest of them that he was sent to do it, Moses was never scared of Pharaoh. Faith does not have fear in it.
It doesn't care. It's not threatened. You can't threaten faith. You can't threaten revelation. That is why you see the apostles of hope at the face of them. They were not
jittering.
They were not stammering before those people who threatened their lives. Look at the early church. When the disciples would do miracles in the name of Jesus, and those people would call them and say, we don't want to hear you speak in the name of Jesus Christ again. They would face them and say, in whose name should we speak? Shall we not say the thing that we have seen and that we have heard, that we are witnesses of? Which one do you want us to talk about? But until then, you will realize that was why Jesus asked them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Stay there until you be endued with power from on high. Holy Ghost is revelation. Holy Ghost is faith.
And that is the only way that we can overcome. Praise be to God. Alright. Let me come back to makes the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. Oh, no problem.
So, Cain and Abel, that's what we are talking about. He said, by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified he was righteous. Now, you see, it was God that gave him the revelation to make him righteous. That was why the prophet told us that. That tells you that as at this time, the law of God has not been written. It's not written. There was no way Abel could read the will of God from. The prophet said it has to be God revealing to him. Personal contact. Then the prophet said, then you will see that the beginning of righteousness is God revealed truth. So for any man to be righteous, you have to follow the revelation of God. The will of God has to be revealed to you, because it is in carrying out the will of God that you become righteous. Remember, Cain also offered a sacrifice. Abel offered a sacrifice. And the Bible says Abel was more righteous than Cain. Why? Because he did it according to what God revealed to him. And what God revealed to him was God's will. What God wanted done.
May the Lord be our help. God bless you. Let's bow down our heads. And next week, by God's grace, we continue. God bless you, sir.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, We thank you very much for another great opportunity to be in your house this morning, Lord, and to come and sit and learn from you. Once again, this all-important topic, O God, Lord, has come to be presented before us this morning, revelation, and we as individuals. We just ask, O God, because you are the writer and the quickener of this word, that you quicken to the heart of everybody. There is definitely a purpose why you allow any preaching, any topic, any teaching to come forth to your people. And Lord, the purpose of this may not be defeated in the life of any of us. We pray, O God, that you take away wandering mind. Give us, Lord, good attention when we come to your house, O Father, and give us understanding. This revelation, since it is from you and you alone, and you say if it is beyond us, we should ask for it. We pray, dear Father, that you give to every one of us as we have need of it. Thank you, eternal Father. We ask you bless your servant and replenish him for the virtue that has left him and little the honor of his ministry. The rest of the services of the day see your hand. May your grace abide with us, Lord. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.